Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what God says to us about being in the valley of striving, exhaustion, and burnout. We're continuing to look at God being with us in the valleys of life. And this week, we're going to look at what it means to be in the valley of pride and destruction. Now, this is linked to what we thought about last time, as much of our striving comes from this root cause of pride, pride in our own abilities, pride in our capacity. So what does God tell us about pride and its consequences? Well, firstly, let's consider what pride is and what does it look like in our lives. The Oxford English Dictionary defines pride as a high, especially an excessively high, opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others, or an inordinate self-esteem. In a similar way, the Webster Dictionary defines pride as inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. So if we consider these two definitions, we can see that pride at its base is the arrogant worship of self. Let me read from Exodus 20, verses 1 to 6. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So the first two of the Ten Commandments reminds us that God is the only one deserving of our worship, and so we should give him and only him our worship. Yet when we allow ourselves to become full of pride, we allow our hearts to lose sight of God, and our worship transfers from him to ourselves. The second commandment talks about the making of idols, which in those days usually took the form of physical objects made of wood or metal. Yet I think both then and now, the biggest idol we make is an idol of ourselves. Pride leads to us exalting ourselves and putting our needs, desires, and plans above all others, including God. Pride does not allow us to share the limelight or put the attention on the one who should be praised above all things. Pride is the worship of me, myself, and I. This misplaced worship of ourselves rather than God is so dangerous, because it allows us to believe that we do not need anyone else, and certainly not God. It elevates us to the place where only God should be. When we are prideful, our spirits boast in what it has accomplished and what it can do. And there are grave consequences for allowing pride to run unchecked in our lives. C.S. Lewis says, "For pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense." So why is pride so dangerous? What are the consequences of our pride? Let me read a couple of proverbs to you. First one is Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And then Proverbs 16, verses 1 and 2. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. And verse 9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So probably one of the most common outworkings of our pride relates to the belief in our own ability to plan our own plans, rather than listening to and following God's plans. Our pride in our own intelligence, our own strength, our own skills means that we frequently create plans without consulting God. While I was at the New Wine Festival, there was a speaker there who was in a pioneering ministry. So this meant that he was leading a team to create a new church in a housing estate somewhere. And he spoke to us about how when he first started up there, he had all these great ideas and it seemed like it was all going about to come into place to establish the church in the area and bring in new people from the estate. And he said to us, "It was amazing. I had all my ducks lined up in a row. And then God went duck hunting. All of those ducks that he had lined up in the row, God shot down." The speaker related how he felt crushed and so confused because he thought his plans would work out. He couldn't understand why they had failed. And it was only after much reflection, prayer, and the benefit of hindsight that he realised his folly. He had pridefully made all of his own plans and gone ahead with it, without actually pausing and waiting for God to show him where to go and what to do. His pride allowed him to value his own wisdom, intellect, and abilities above the need to rely on God. And, unsurprisingly, the end result didn't work as planned. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. If we are following our own plans, we may well find ourselves in difficulty. It is God's purpose, God's plans, that prevail. Is there something that you can relate to? Can you recognise times where you have made plans and picked out a path, only to find it doesn't lead you where you want it to because you weren't following God's plans to your life? And perhaps there are plans that you're currently creating and following that you need to examine and ask God whether you are following him or yourself. So one of the consequences of pride is that we have pride in our own plans and not in God's. Another consequence of pride is destruction and fall. Let me read from Proverbs 16, verses 18 to 19. "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." And Proverbs 11, verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. With humility comes wisdom." The speaker, who had all his ducks lined up in a row, found that his ministry in that place failed because his pride took control and ruined the work that God was prepared to do through him. He left that place having not established a church. We might think to ourselves, but he was doing God's work. Surely God would have wanted a church to be established, even if the man was doing it based on his pride. But God knows that pride is destructive. If the church had been established due to that man's pride, it would not have recognised the need for God or rely on his strength in all things. When we allow our pride to dictate our path, we walk a dangerous path. A number of times in the book of Proverbs, we are warned of the dire consequences of pride. Pride goes before destruction. And the proverb in Proverbs 16 continues, "It is better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." Why is it better to be lowly in spirit with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud? Well, C.S. Lewis says, "As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." And this is truly destruction. Pride therefore leads to our ultimate destruction because pride refuses to know God. Paul knew well the dangers of pride, And so he reminded the Ephesians, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." We were by nature deserving of wrath, but God's grace has saved us. And Paul reminds us, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Paul knew that we needed to be aware that God's gift was a free gift and not one that we earned or worked to gain, because otherwise we would boast and we would stop relying, stop depending on God, because we figured we could save ourselves. Pride goes before destruction. Pride also has the consequence of selfishness. As that quote from C.S. Lewis says, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people." Pride looks down on others and seeks to serve self, and as such it is selfish and lacking in compassion. When we let pride in, we find ourselves less willing to serve others, less loving, more argumentative and combative. Proverbs 13 verse 10 reminds us, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Author Chris Jammie commentated, "When we think that we are automatically entitled to something, that is when we start walking all over others to get it." And again, C.S. Lewis says, "Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Once the element of competition is gone, pride is gone." Pride wants us to be better than someone else. So when we are in a situation when we can help someone, pride will not let us. This selfishness goes against God's will for our lives. It breaks relationships and it damages our soul. When we find ourselves hesitating to help another, let us pause and question what it is that is stopping us from reaching out in compassion. Give God time to break through your pride so that you can reflect his likeness more and more each day. So we can see that pride has many consequences. We've only thought about three, but already that's quite a lot. But what can we do about it? How do we let God pull us out of the valley of our pride and destruction? Well, first and foremost, we need to keep God in his rightful position as head, number one, the main priority in our lives. As soon as we start to place God in second place, we fall into the trap of pride and arrogance. So we need to constantly maintain God as first in our lives. This means that he has our main focus. So practically, what does that look like? Here are some questions to help us consider if God is first in our lives. What is your first coherent thought of the day? What is your last thought? What do you spend most of your time doing? Who do you think about most during the day? Who do you turn to first when you are stressed? Who do you turn to first when you want to celebrate? Where is your time with God on your priority list for the day? Now, let me just be clear. I am not speaking from a place of perfection. I certainly do not manage to keep God in first place at all times. There have definitely been moments where I've found myself putting God further and further down my priorities. But these questions are here to help us consider what we think of important and how God can be reinserted to number one place. God deserves to be first in our lives at all times, but we have to continually check and assess our priorities to make sure he hasn't slipped from that number one place. So, our first important point is check where God is on your priority list. A second thing to help us combat pride is from Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, he will establish your plans. When we are making our plans, whether it is just the plan of what to do for the day, or it is the plan for your whole life, your life's goal, we need to take it to God and ask him to help us follow his plans. God waits for us to ask for his direction. He longs for us to submit ourselves to his plans. All we have to do is ask. What are you planning to do for the rest of the day? What are you planning for this coming week? Have you asked God what he wants you to do? If not, you might want to use the time after this video in prayer to have a moment to ask God for his direction and guiding. A third thing that will help us combat pride is true humility. Too often we think we deserve praise. We need to learn humility. Until we truly understand that we have no righteousness on our own, we will remain chained by pride. True humility requires us to see the reality of our situation. In Romans 3, we are reminded that all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy of praise because we have all messed up. All of us sin and are lost and in need of God. When we start from this realization, we can recognize and accept God's amazing gift of grace. When we recognize the reality of our sinful state and our need for God, we can then also recognize how much we need God to guide us in the right paths, to direct our steps. Humility calls us to put our complete trust in God and allow him to have total control. We need to lean on God's understanding to show us the right path to walk, to open our hearts to him and put aside our own desires. And humility also calls us to have a deep, enduring gratitude to God for all he has done for us. So let us ask God to help us have true humility. It's not a natural state for us, so we do need God's help. But with him, anything can happen. So let us come to God and allow him to help fight against our pride. So there's quite a lot in what I've just said. So think about what the consequences of our pride can be when we have pride in our plans, that we stop listening to God's plans. Pride that leads to destruction and fall, and pride that causes us to be selfish. So what are we going to do about it? Put God first forever. Commit our plans to God and ask him to give us true humility so that we can really recognize how much we need him in all that we do. So let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are great beyond all our imagining. And Lord, we are so sorry when we allow pride to get in the way, to take over. When we allow our pride to come first and remove you from your place of honour in our lives. Lord, help us to recognise when we are feeling prideful and to be willing to do something about it. To give you first priority, to give you control and allow you to help us remove that pride from our lives. So Lord, we pray for your guidance, we pray for your provision of true humility, and we pray that we will always put you first, no matter what. We give you our lives in humble surrender. And say, Lord, please take control. In your name we pray. Amen.